Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Hello, LifeLink Church. How are we all doing? God is good. And all the time. Amen. My name is Pastor Landry. It's such a joy to be with us today. Amen. Well, we are still in our series called Amen. And we've been doing, it's been a fantastic series. I'm a husband of one wife. My gorgeous wife is sitting down in front. Amen. Pastor Hope. And it's such a privilege to stand here. I want to thank Pastor Dave and Pastor Cherie for allowing me to stand behind this sacred desk with this plum to preach today. Thank you very much. Amen. If you made it past our ushers and you didn't get a sermon note, please raise up your right hand. They will give you a sermon note to write down your notes today. And if you promise not to Instagram or Facebook, you can open up YouVision on your phone to get your notes down. If you're watching online, you can also get the sermon note on YouVision. It's always an honor to share God's word. I'm always excited to share God's word. I'm a very shy person, but when it comes to the word of God, that shyness goes out of the window. Amen. All right. There's a scripture in the Bible in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 15, that always comes alive to me every time I hear it. It's Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16 says, "Your words were found, and I did eat them, and they became unto me a joy and a rejoicing of my soul." Which means that every time the word of God is read, every time the word of God is taught, there is a joy that should flow. Amen? Every time there is a connection with the word of God, something happens. There is something about God's word. We're not just trying to fill up space. There is something about this word. It changes our lives. Amen? There is power in the word of God. Amen? There is power in God's word. And I believe there is something in this word you're going to hear today that will change your life, that will change my life. Amen? This series, we've been tag teaming throughout the last 7 weeks. And last week, Pastor Dave and Chris brought forth a powerful, powerful, powerful word. I was able to podcast it. Let's put our hands together for them. Come on. Amen. It was wonderful. Today, we're going to be talking about gentleness. And it's a privilege to be able to talk, to share this stage with a very powerful man of God. I call him the man, the myth, the legend. Josh Russell will be out here shortly. Amen. You can see the bias and all the students are like, ooh! But Josh Russell will be here shortly. Let's go through the scripture. Our anchor scripture for this series is from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And it reads, it's in your note, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Gentleness and self-control. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence in this room. Thank you because we know that the flower fades and the grass wither, but your word endures forever. Our hearts are open to receive of you. Teach us as only you can. We declare that all the blessing will be for us, your people, and all the glory will be unto you. And the people of God say, amen. Gentleness. Gentleness. To be gentle. Gentleness. But before we talk about gentleness, I just want to know, let me give you a few scenarios. How do you respond to these situations? How do you respond? You're standing in line at the airport. You've been at the airport for the last 4 hours because your flight was canceled. That's real, because that happened to us last weekend. For the last 4 hours, you've been standing in line and you're trying to make it, and somebody comes up and just elbow their way right in front of you. And what do you do? Don't tell me. And if it did happen to me, I don't want to tell you what I did. How do you respond? You ask your husband, or you ask your wife, or you ask your child to help with the dishes, and they said no. How do you respond? Don't say anything. If you're sitting down beside your wife or your husband, just continue looking straight. Or maybe you were having a romantic dinner with your boyfriend. You're wearing that size 2 dress you've been trying to wear for the last 3 years. And that nice-looking Christian Louboutin shoes. You went to that French restaurant in downtown Phoenix. It's obvious to you that I've been watching a lot of Hallmark movies. Not that I like watching them, but because I'm married. And I want to remain married. So that's why I watch them. Okay, so get back to what I was saying. So you're having a romantic dinner, and then so you're number 3 of the 5-course meal. I don't know why they do that, but number 3. And he looked at you and said, I think we need to go our separate ways. I'm like, what? And then to now crown it all, he said, can we remain friends? How do you respond to that? And he said, I hope you forgive me. I know the natural response for you to say, oh, sweetheart, it's okay. No, naturally speaking, you would just want to pour course number 4 in his face, right? Our natural reaction to situations like this is to be angry. Our natural reaction is to, you know, to lose our temper. Our natural reaction is to, you know, you just want to say something. You know what I'm talking about? You want to get that choice word to just like, you want to say something that will pain them, right? I know you know what I'm talking about because you've been there. But God said in his word, he tells us in the Bible, he said, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 again, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So you said, you mean, Pastor, that God wants me to be gentle? Yes. But that would get me killed in school. That would get me killed on my campus. That would get me killed in business. I cannot be gentle in America. I would get killed. But that's what the scripture says. Gentleness is not weakness. Gentleness is not weakness. When Apostle Paul was writing this scripture, the word gentleness, its Greek word means strength under control. Strength under control. It paints a picture of a stallion, of a wild horse that's under control. When you talk about a stallion, you're talking about a stallion that's been broken. A stallion is a horse that's not been castrated yet. So with all the testosterone flowing on the inside of this almost 2,000-pound horse, somebody is able to actually climb on top of this horse and still able to ride him. Not that all the testosterone has gone away, but he has been able to be tamed and controlled. Are you hearing me? So the stallion became gentle. The stallion is not weak. The stallion is still strong, but the stallion is under control. So when you're gentle, you're not weak. You're just under control. Somebody say amen. Amen. So gentle people respond under control. Are you still here? So when we are faced with situations like this in life, we don't overreact. We don't verbally abuse somebody. We don't wound people in a relationship because we are offended. We don't just act out because we know that we are under control. There are two important parts to understanding how to become gentle people. Number one, write this down in your note. Gentleness comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Gentleness comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Like every other fruit of the Holy Spirit that we've been studying over the last 7 weeks, it's not natural. It's a gift from God. It's not natural. It's a gift from God. Write this down. Number 2, gentleness is a choice. It is a choice. We as believers in Jesus Christ have a choice. And what are these choices? And you'll notice, say, C, we can respond in gentleness. And D, you can write this down, or we can respond in anger. It is a choice. We can respond in gentleness, or we can respond in anger. So you said, Pastor Larry, what's the difference? The difference is that gentleness, you can write this down in your notes, gentle people are God-controlled. Gentle people are God-controlled people. Gentle people are God-controlled people, not others-controlled. Gentle people are God-controlled people, not others-controlled. Sometimes when I get disappointed, when I get stressed out, I try to remind myself of this, and I tell myself loudly about this. I said, to be disappointed is to have trusted in man. I am disappointed because I have trusted in man. To be disappointed is to have trusted in the arm of flesh. Because if I'm disappointed, it means that I've trusted in man. If my trust is in the God Almighty, then I wouldn't be disappointed. If all my hope and dream and aspiration is I place it in a human being, then I will be disappointed. But if I choose to depend, if I put all my hope in the God that created me, then my disappointment won't really matter because I know my God is still on my side. Are you hearing me today? So gentle people are God-controlled people, not others-controlled. John chapter 15, verse 5 in the New Living Translation says this. He said, yes, Jesus speaking, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is a freebie. I'm going to throw this in. We've gone through this series for the last few weeks. The goal is to produce fruit and never to be satisfied with seeing leaves. So what do you mean? There will come a time over the next few weeks, over the next few months, where we begin to see things like a little bit of patience, a little bit of gentleness, a little bit of self-control, and we begin to feel like maybe we have arrived, maybe we begin to see some result. But the goal is for us to produce fruit, not leaves. Mike McDougall used to say that there is no plateau for pleasure. That means there is no place you're going to reach in life where you're going to be like, oh, I finally arrived. The God is saying that I want you to produce fruit. So when you begin to see some measure of result, don't let the devil lie to you and say, yes, you're doing good. No, you haven't done good until you begin to see fruit. Somebody say amen. Yeah. I'm not upset, I'm just excited. Amen. All right. So Jesus is the life-giving source. He's the life-giving source of the branches. He said, I am the vine. I am the vine. If we are connected to the vine, which is Christ, then we are controlled by the vine. We are controlled by the vine. If we're Christ-controlled, when we are offended, then gentleness, strength under control will be the dominant part of our response. You get that? If we're connected to the vine, and I get offended, gentleness, which is strength under control, will be a dominant part of my response. But if we are others controlled can mean anything. You don't want to be alcohol controlled. You don't want to be drugs controlled. If you are others controlled, then we say things like, I can't believe she did that to me. We say things like, oh, he makes me so mad. My wife is sitting down here, so I can't say she. I love you, sweetheart. I'm trying to work for the chicken for lunch, you know what I'm saying? So you guys are distracting me. When we say those things, we're admitting that somebody else has taken control of our lives except God. When we say things like, he makes me so mad, we are allowing somebody else to control our emotions. We are allowing somebody else to control our responses. Gentle people are controlled by the Lord and not others. Gentle people are controlled by the Lord and not others. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, to continue on this sermon, I want to introduce to you a great man of God. We all know him as a student movement director, a fervent prayer warrior, and an amazing communicator of God's word. Let's welcome Josh Russell.
All right, LifeLink, what's going on this morning? How are you guys doing? Yeah. God is moving. I feel it. I just want to say thank you so much for being here. My name is Josh Russell. I serve as the student director here at LifeLink Church. And by the way, students, what's going on? How are you guys doing? Shout out to you guys. I know you guys are starting school pretty soon, and I'm praying for you. Just know that. Well, I just want to say thank you, Pastor Dave. Thank you, Pastor Reed, for allowing me the honor to be up here today. I'm so excited to continue to dive in and what God is talking to us about in gentleness. And we're going to actually look further into his word at what he has to say about gentleness. So I want to give you guys four characteristics of gentleness. I want to give you the first three, and then we're going to welcome back out Pastor Lon Ray. He's going to give us the fourth one. Does that sound good? All right. So if you're taking notes, I hope you are. Show me your pens. You guys all taking notes in here? Yeah, there we go. Some of you guys are like, I got my phone. But write this down, okay? Write this down. A gentle person is understanding, not demanding. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. You know, I love this verse because it reminds us that other people matter. Other people are important. It's not just us. We're not number one, right? But the Bible says clearly, other people are important and we should actually value them as better than ourselves. That might be a hard pill for some of us to swallow in here, but other people matter. You know, this actually became real to me when I worked at a place called Harkins Theaters. Anyone ever been to Harkins Theaters before? Yes, many of you guys missed that. I used to work at Harkins Theaters probably, right? So I used to work at Harkins Theaters. I was a supervisor there and I was up for a promotion to become manager. And in this time, me and this other person, we were up for this promotion and I actually did not get the promotion. Sad, right? So I didn't get the promotion. And in a moment, I was a little frustrated. I kind of wanted to go up to my general manager. I kind of wanted some answers, wanted to kind of be a little demanding like we just wrote down, right? And I was just so frustrated. But inside, I felt God challenge me with something. And he challenged me with this. He said, you know what? I want you to have understanding. I want you to support the decision that your managers decided to make. And take it a step further. I want you to celebrate the other person who got promoted. Now, that was a little difficult because I didn't want to celebrate him. I wanted to celebrate me, right? In that moment, it was a little challenging, but you know, I decided to move forward and I decided to celebrate that other person who got promoted. And I decided to move forward and say, okay, I'll support that decision. And let me tell you something, church. 2 weeks later, another position opened up and I got promoted. And guess what? Not only was it the promotion I wanted to be manager, but it was the exact location that I wanted that was not available 2 weeks previous, but I was able to say yes to God and move where he was wanting to take me, and he blessed my life. And let me tell you something, he wants to do the same for you today. Church, let me tell you, God's way works every time. And if we go his way, he's gonna bless your life. Who wants blessing from God? Raise your hand. Yeah, that's what I thought. All right, so the second one, write this down if you're taking notes. A gentle person forgives, not judges. Forgives, not judges. Proverbs 17:9 says, he who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter and dwells on it separates close friends. How do we treat people, especially the people we know and love who hurt us? How do you treat people when they offend you, when they bring you pain? You know, most of the time, the temptation is to actually remind them over and over, bring up over and over what they've done to us, the hurt that they've inflicted, the pain that they've caused. But you know, it's that mindset that's gonna keep us from receiving what God wants to give us. And what God wants to give us in that moment when we're hurt, when we have pain, we have offense, he wants to give us freedom. God wants to give us freedom in our life from that offense. But the only way that we get that freedom It's through forgiveness. See, forgiveness is the key that unlocks freedom. Forgiveness is the key that unlocks freedom. So when we can learn to be a people who say, I'm gonna forgive people when they hurt me, I'm gonna forgive someone when they offend me, God's gonna bring freedom to our lives in that moment. And I bet if I asked each and every one of you, you would say, I wanna walk in freedom. I don't want pain, I don't want hurt anymore, right? So let's walk in freedom. Let's start forgiving people. All right, number three. You guys ready for number three? All right, number one was a gentle person is understanding, not demanding. And number two, a gentle person forgives, not judges. Number three is this, a gentle person is tender without surrender. Tender without surrender. Proverbs 15:1 says this, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Anyone ever been yelled at in here before? Show of hands. Oh, every single person? Oh, okay. How does that usually go for the person who yells at you? Probably not best friends right away after, right? So anytime we're in this moment, it's frustrating when we're getting yelled at or when we're in a moment where we feel someone's anger towards us, right? Parents, can I talk to you, parents? Any parents in here? Okay, parents, can I talk to you about this? This is one of the most critical aspects of parenting. It's how we respond, how we react to our children. See, sometimes we don't always react in the way that we wish we would. Sometimes the actions of our kids kind of dictate a different response. I'll tell you a story about my daughter, Roxy. I have a daughter, her name's Roxanne. She's about 3 years old. I don't know why I'm doing this. Like, this is the universal symbol for three or something. I don't know. But she's 3 years old, and I love her. She's full of life. She's full of energy. Many of you know her, can attest to that. But she doesn't always respond the way I want her to. And one time we were coming home from the park, and as we're coming home, she's carrying her water bottle, and she drops her water bottle. And I was like, oh my gosh, Roxy, you dropped your water. Pick it up, baby girl. And she just, without breaking stride, just goes, you pick it up. Whew. Every parent has had that moment, and every parent was like, where's the switch right now, right? So in that moment, I could think of nothing but to respond with just this. I was like, what? I just shout. I was like, what? And then she turns around and she gives me one of these. She goes. She bends down. She picks it up and goes, Daddy, I picked it up. But in that moment, I was a little frustrated at myself because I was like, I didn't react or respond the way I wish I would have. And sometimes parents, we can do that. We can react in ways where we later on regret that very reaction, that response that we did. But I actually want to give you guys three ways that we can react as parents. These are three ways that we tend to react. The first one is we'll react in fear. We'll react in fear. These aren't in your notes, so make sure you write these down. But we react in fear because we just want to keep peace in our house, right? So what do? We'll compromise our standards. We'll bend the rules. We'll give them back that phone that we originally took away. We'll let them go over to that friend's house that's been a proven bad influence, all so we can just keep peace. So we don't want to be challenged by our kids, so we'll just give them whatever they want so that we can just keep peace. Another way that we react is we react in rage. When we respond in rage, what ends up happening is that we'll do something that we'll regret later on, every time. Whether you're yelling, whether you cuss your kids out, let's be real, we're not perfect, right? Whether you say things that hurt them on the inside, but really in that moment, all we're doing is we're damaging the influence that we're supposed to have on them later on. But the Bible says there's another way, and that's God's way, and that's to respond in gentleness. To respond in gentleness, which is when we stand our ground with strength under control. So parents, I want to ask you, and this is for everybody, are we under control of fear? Are we under the control of our emotions? Or are we under control of God? Because when we're under control of God, that's when we can be powerful in gentleness. Ephesians 6:4 says this, fathers, do nothing to provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the, what does that say? The Lord. It has to come from the Lord. None of this is possible unless we have God on our side. Amen? And it's through our daily devotion with God. It's in our time with him in the word. It's in our time that when we pray, And when we worship, that we start building a relationship with Jesus. And man, in that relationship, that's when we can flow through gentleness. Let's welcome back out Pastor Lon Ray as he gives us our fourth characteristic today.
Awesome. Well, number four. Isn't it good? Yeah. And it looks very sharp too. Yeah. Come on, let's put our hands together for Josh again. Number four, a gentle person is reachable, not unteachable. A gentle person is reachable, not unteachable. That is touching. A gentle person is reachable, not unteachable. James chapter 1, verse 19 in the NIV translation says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone, which means everyone, should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." 2017, the Holy Spirit taught me to this scripture for almost a whole year. I could not get away from it. Almost every day, I had to go back to it. There are times that you just, there's some scriptures you don't have to preach about. I think this is one of them. If you, maybe you're here in this room, you're dealing with anger issues, or you're dealing with something along those lines, and you need a prescription, this is a good one. Wake up in the morning, say to yourself, "I am quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." That scripture is powerful. Say, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Slow to become angry. What does it mean? I'm not trying to fill space here, just for us to get it. That is, if I'm quick to listen, if I'm slow to speak, then there's a huge chance that I'll be very slow to get angry. There's a very good chance that I'll be very slow to get angry. There is power in God's word for deliverance. Somebody say amen. Gentle people make it a habit of listening, not just hearing the sound of words. You know how it is sometimes? Husband and wife, brothers and sisters. When you're having a conversation, friends, somebody's talking to you, and all you're doing is just you're waiting for them to finish so that you can say your own back. You're not actually listening. You just want them to finish. Yes. And then you just want to say your own. But scripture says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. It's not every time you have to have a response. There comes a time where you don't have to say anything. There are times where you actually have something to say, but you keep it down because the power of the Holy Spirit is telling you to be quiet. Have you ever been there? Where you really want to say something, but you know, the only thing that's coming out of you is tears because you really, really want to say it. But God is not just allowing you to say it. That is strength under control. That is the mark of gentleness. Gentle people make it a habit of listening before they respond. Listening has to precede learning. Listening has to precede learning. How do you respond to people who correct you? How do you respond? Are you open to it, or you're Mr. or Mrs. Know-it-all? People that know it all may know it all, but they end up being very lonely people. We have to be student of life. We all have to be student of life because we don't know everything. Jesus Christ is the savior of the world. His parents were looking for him at one time. Bible says they found him in the temple. listening to the Pharisees and all the other teachers in the temple, asking questions. This is the Savior of the world. If Jesus can become a student, what about us? We cannot be Mr. or Mrs. Know-it-all. Gentle people are ready to learn. So what have we learned today? A gentle person is understanding, not demanding. A gentle person forgives, not judges. A gentle person is tender without surrender. A gentle person is reachable, not unteachable. And our God treats us with gentleness too. Because he's understanding. Because he forgives you and I each and every day. He's tender towards us. And at times where we've done all we can and we reach our wit's end, he's still reachable. You know, in the midst of the nighttime where nobody's there, and you're dropping those tears on your pillow, and there's nobody you can call on to, God said, "I'm there. I'm right there. All you need to do is just to call. I'm reachable. I'm reachable." I said, "Pastor, you don't understand. My family, we deal with anger issues in my family. It's a family trait. The devil is a liar. There's nothing like that. The power of the Holy Spirit is in this room today to break such curses. It's a curse." So through the work of the Holy Spirit, God wants to produce in us gentleness so that we can imbibe that character in our hearts. In the name of Jesus. If you can't this morning, bow down your head, or this afternoon, let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you because you have spoken your words unto us. Our hearts are open. And Father, we depend upon you. Thank you for the integrity of your word. Thank you for the finished work on Calvary Cross. And today, in the name of Jesus Christ, as many as are in this room that we're dealing with one form of anger issue or the other, one form of character flaw or the other, we stand upon those words today and we declare that in the name of Jesus Christ, such lineage things that have disturbed and distracted and stuck itself to our family and our lives, it's broken in the name of Jesus Christ. We declare freedom from anger. We declare freedom from oppression in the name of Jesus Christ. Every lie from the pit of hell, we declare every influence from darkness back to sender today in the name of Jesus Christ. We leave this room free in the name of Jesus Christ. We declare that we will sleep well at night in the name of Jesus. So Father, we thank you for your word delivers and it sets us free today in the name of Jesus Christ. Our character trait is gentleness in the name of Jesus. We give you thanks, our God. With our heads still bowed and our eyes still closed, maybe you're here today, you're like, "Well, I don't even know how to even start. I don't even know how to have a relationship with him." I'm here to tell you today that none of this is possible without a real and active relationship with God. And if you want to say, "Pastor, I just want you to pray with me, and I just want to have a fresh start with Jesus Christ." If you're in that position today, on the count of three, just raise up your right hand and we'll pray together. Nobody's looking around. This is a decision between you and Jesus Christ. I'm going to count to three. Just raise up your right hand and we'll pray together. And you can start a new walk with him today in Jesus' name. One, two, and three. Just raise up your right hand. See that hand. God bless you. One. See that hand. Two. Anybody else? Just be bold about it. Raise up that right hand. Anybody else? Three. Anybody else? Four. See that hand. Anybody else? Anyone else? Let's have a fresh start with a fresh walk with him from today. Anybody else? Anybody else? Five, six. Anybody else? Seven. Anyone else? Anyone else? God bless you. You may put down your hand. Everyone, let's say this together. Say this with boldness and with conviction in your heart. Father, I thank you for that which you have started in my heart today. I boldly declare that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I am no longer for the devil and all his works. I am for you. I will live for you for the rest of my life. I declare today that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. So, Father, I thank you for being mine, and I'm yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord this morning.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.